Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
He misses! Shipes the rebound!
Got to push this to the basket. Take it to the basket, guys. 9 seconds.
No timeouts left.
What are they doing?
R.J. Hunter for three. Good! Rod Hunter has fallen off his stool for good reason. Georgia State up by one.
That is one of the most incredible things that I've seen. They were going nowhere. I was wondering if they were going to get a shot. And R.J. Hunter, I guess he came up big in the last 5 minutes here. What a shot.
Rod Hunter tipped over his stool after his son made a three to give Georgia State the lead.
Coach, are you okay after you fell off that shot when he hit that?
No, I'm fine. I can't feel anything right now. I'm so happy for these guys right here. I'm vibing with Georgia State, the city of Atlanta, and this young man right here. I'm just proud. I love this guy, man. Really proud of him. That's a great win for our program, but I'm proud of this guy here. I love this guy right here.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
Hey, man, I hurt my Achilles before. I tore my Achilles, so I give it up to him for just playing that off, because I know he was hurting.
That's that's Coach Ron Hunter after his son RJ hit the shot for Georgia State to win it in that upset over Baylor on Thursday. It's One and Done. We're back. I'm Hardwood Rob. Marcus Fuller is here. Just barely got off the plane and rolled over here. You were in South Bend watching the women.
Yeah, you know, they lost last night to DePaul. It was it was kind of devastating for them. They were up 15 in the second half, and it just completely fell apart. Turnover after turnover, 28 turnovers in the game, the most turnovers they've had all season. And this is a team that, losing Rachel Banham just to get to the NCAA tournament was an amazing feat. But once they got there, I mean, you felt like they could definitely win one game. And so then for them to bow out last night, I think, is a disappointment. But they got Amanda Zawi back. Rachel Banham will be back. They got a bright future.
I was kind of stunned. I actually got to watch the second half of the game, and they were up 15. And all of a sudden,
well, you kind of felt like DePaul was going to make a run. I mean, this is a team that went to the Sweet 16 last year, and they've been to 13 straight NCAA tournaments. They have a coach that's been there for 29 years at the school. So, I mean, they've got, you know, a lot of character, and there's no way that they were going to just bow out to Minnesota. And they had a game plan. They actually forced 12 turnovers in the first half, but they just weren't able to shoot the ball. Second half, they just played the way they wanted to. They got them up and down, and Minnesota is just a turnover machine at the end of the year. They lost four of their last five games, and the last two, they combined for 23 or 51 turnovers. Ugh, that just won't get it done.
That DePaul team looked poised. That the big gal, was it Pacal? She was balling.
Pretty close.
balling. You can tell I'm really following the women's basketball game closely.
But, you know, I think you look at the DePaul team going into the game, they started five women that were 5'8 or shorter. Four women that were 5'8 or shorter. And their center was about 6'1", 6'2". So you thought, you know, Zawi was going to probably go for 50 points and 40 rebounds. But
they made her work.
They did.
Their full-court press, I mean, their guards were aggressive on the ball. I mean, it seemed like the Gophers were barely able to get the ball across half court. I mean, for what I was watching in the second half, I mean, if they weren't, they turned it on. It was nasty. They were mugging them.
No, DePaul knew what they wanted to do, and they totally played. You know, the Gophers kind of fell into their game plan, and it worked. But like I said, next year, I mean, this is a team that could win an NCAA tournament game or more, depending on the matchup. They could compete for a Big Ten title. They got a lot of talent coming back, and when you return Rachel Banham, I mean, she's going to go down next year as the greatest scorer in Minnesota history. She's only 107 points away from breaking Lindsey Whelan's all-time scoring record at the U.
And it was nice to see him get back. Just to get back to the tournament is nice. I mean, Minnesota represented on a national level in a tournament is that's a big deal.
6 years is a long time.
When, and of course, you know, I would be remiss, because I'm sure folks are already hearing little bits of the phone over there. Ryan's probably watching the Saturday morning cartoons. Ryan, you're out in Sioux Falls right now, correct?
That's right. I'm watching the X-Men. I watch the X-Men every morning.
Oh, man.
Wolverine's my guy.
I'm jealous. I am so jealous right now.
Did you catch?
Laying in bed at the Marriott, just chilling.
My son would be jealous, too.
Are you? You're out there for the. Go ahead.
Well, I was listening to him. He got his all numbers all messed up. I was like, he's like, DePaul's got five girls 4'8" and under. I'm like, whoa. Now that would have been
it kind of looked like that when they were up against Zally. I mean, they're just like kind of biting at her ankles, but they got it done.
I'm out here in Sioux Falls. There's several basketball items I work for. One's Prep Hoops Dakota. I'm at the South Dakota State Tournament. The South Dakota State Tournament's different, though. They got three classes, and all of them are in different locations. So I wish I could see all three classes, but you can't, and that's how they do it. It is what it is.
Is Richard Pitino going to be up there with you, scouting?
I'll tell you what. If this dude out here, Nathan Brown Bull, he didn't have to go JUCO, he probably would be, because this dude's 7'1"
really?
And runs the court like he's got a pro future.
Say that name again.
Nathan Brown Bull.
Brown Bull.
7 foot.
Yeah. 7'1".
7'1", and he's what year is he?
He's a senior, but he's going to go JUCO. But listen to that name in the future, man. He's going to be a star. And he's going to be a guy that you'll hear about in JUCOs. I'm sure the Gophers will try to get down. Everyone will try to get down. He's 7'1" and can move.
Yeah, you can't teach 7'1".
I was saying yesterday on Twitter that Patino's got to go to the Dakotas. You know, you see North Dakota play Gonzaga yesterday. And, they've got some players.
Dexter Warner. I watched Dexter play AAU basketball, and I've never seen a guy moose people like that dude in AAU.
You're the only one who knew that name. You knew Ryan was going to know who that kid was.
Yeah, he played for the ECI up there, man, and he would dominate AAU tournaments. His team would beat anybody when they played because he was a beast, and he played with AJ Jacobson back then.
Yeah, he had 22 points versus Gonzaga off the bench. He was just killing those guys. And if you look at North Dakota in the past, I mean, they've always North Dakota State. I won't make that mistake. North Dakota State.
Yeah, don't do that. They get
the Bison.
Mad.
I know they do. I've covered too many of those Dakota football games. They get pretty upset. South Dakota, South Dakota State, North Dakota State, North Dakota. You got to get it right.
I was surprised to see them do what they did against Gonzaga. It didn't seem. I mean, they looked like they were out there to win.
That's a program that's been there before, you know, and the way that they come in there with the confidence. And Gonzaga is not really a team. To me, that kind of showed that they can make a long run. You know, I picked them in the championship game, but. They got to get their act together pretty quickly here. But definitely, you know, you look at North Dakota State, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, Minnesota doesn't only want to play them in football. They don't want to play them in basketball either because some of these kids.
Oh, they'll play them in football.
They won't play them in football. No, they don't want to play them in football.
They will.
No, they don't.
Smash those dudes up. Come on.
So, you know, I was speaking of Gonzaga. I mean, I had them losing to Iowa State, and that brings up the question to me. I mean, I think everybody here in Minnesota has got a little bit of love for the mayor. What was the deal with Iowa State, man? That's got to be one of the major storylines because a lot of folks' brackets, especially in that region, got busted because of Iowa State.
I said that I felt sorry for Hoiberg a little bit when he lost that game. People were just chewing me out on social media. Oh, why do you got love for Hoiberg? Why do you got love for Hoiberg? Well, I mean, he's how can you not, you know, what he went through in his playing career, obviously with his health issues and he was a Timberwolf. I mean, I think what he's done at Iowa State is pretty amazing. Obviously, he does it a different way. You know, he gets Division I transfers. He gets guys with little issues. Kind of reminds me of
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Tarkanian used to do at UNLV and Fresno State, you know. And I think that it'll work for, you know, only for a certain amount of time. You got to get freshmen, you got to develop players over the course of their career. And I think that's what you're seeing is that, I mean, you know, that Royce White run in the NCAA tournament was pretty impressive. But other than that, I mean, you got a talented team, but just a lot of pieces that every year, you know, there's just new guys coming in and out. And, I don't think they have that necessarily that chemistry, that can make a long run, but again, they had an incredible season. A lot of people picked them to go even to the Final Four or even in the national championship game. I didn't have them quite that far.
Not this guy.
Yeah, you're getting pretty vocal about that. You didn't pick Iowa State to even get out of the first round or the second round?
UAB. I had UAB to beat them. That
Did
was
you
one
really?
Of my two upsets.
So you're the one.
I am the guy. My bracket looks beautiful.
I did pick Georgia State. I had Georgia State. I couldn't.
That's a lie.
I had Georgia State. You know, go look it up online, man. It's up there. Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Marcus Fuller's bracket.
Your chicken scratch whiskey.
Yeah.
Going out there with that whiskey.
Yeah.
Obviously, Wisconsin.
My wife's a Badger. She's a Badger, so she didn't. Yeah, I said that. That's right.
I should mention that that's actually our poll question revolves around the tournament. Obviously, I mean, who's your pick to win this whole thing? You can tweet us. It's at one and done 105 or hit us up. We've got Ryan on the line, but we'd certainly welcome your call. 651-989-9105. Maybe we should save our ultimate picks. I mean, you could probably catch them all on print. Mine's on 105theticket.com. Ryan's is probably already, it's probably Kentucky, I'm sure. And yours is in the paper, but we got to get into the big dogs a little bit later. We've got some high school tournament to recap. And some more questions maybe about the Gophers even.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about the Gophers a little bit.
There was a story that you sent my way from USA Today about there was some quotes from Tubby Smith in there. It was revolving around coaches in the hot seat, and I know that the question isn't necessarily it seems like it's maybe a little taboo at this moment to ask, is Coach Pitino in the hot seat? And I'm not saying that we're going to pose that question, but maybe we should at least ask if it's a viable question at this point.
No, we'll bring that up because of Tubby. You know, he put Minnesota back in the news, maybe for the wrong reason there.
That was Tubby's nature. All right, we're going to cover all that in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We would be remiss, I think, if we didn't at least chat for a minute about the high school tournament and the results after Saturday. The first thing that struck me straight out the gate was just that, I mean, how fun it was to watch that Champlain Park Apple Valley game, man. That was maybe one of the best high school games I've ever seen.
Well, there's so many athletes on the floor, and there's so much talent on the floor that that's the type of game that can excite, you know, a high school fan base just because there's so much talent out there. I mean, it was the first half was amazing, and then the coaches ruined it by going zone and making us watch zone after they were battling in man-to-man for a while. But yeah, that was an outstanding game, and you got to give kudos to Apple Valley, especially I give my first credit to Zach Goring because the zone he threw at Champlain Park threw Champlain Park off, and they didn't handle it well. Their shot selection, ball movement, and everything went off, and it was off. And then, you know, Apple Valley took a bigger lead and eventually won 64-61, earning their second title in 3 years.
Did I not tell you that they were going to shut down JT Gibson?
You may have said that. Yes.
You said, oh man, you know, I asked that question before, and they asked, you know, I think you're asking one of the Apple Valley players, you know, how did we do it? But the kid is obviously he's Mr. Basketball this year, right?
Yeah.
Had an incredible season. Just not a great championship game. I mean, who stepped up in his absence?
Well, Marty Hill is a guy we're going to be hearing. You know, I talked about the big Nate Brown bull earlier. Marty Hill is another guy who's going to go JUCO, and you got to watch for him. Maybe even as a Gopher, he's long, athletic. He had 19 in that championship game. He made big shots. It's 7 of 11 plus of his attempts and 4 trays. So Marty Hill is a guy to watch in the future. And so is McKinley Wright. And not to mention Theo John. You know, Rob, I don't know if you saw this, but Theo John got a gopher offer on Monday after they watched him in the state tournament. So.
Yeah, I did. I saw that. I retweeted that. And he was one of the more impressive players to me actually watching the tournament. I mean, just to look at the dude, that's a physical specimen. He's going to be a hell of a college athlete.
I was wondering why Pitino didn't offer him sooner.
Well, dang, Rob. Or, excuse me, Marcus. You got to look at him. Come on now.
He was excited, though. He was pleased just to get the love of his first offer being from his home state.
He was, and he was really excited about that, and it's something that's going to stick with him, and he's definitely that's going to play a part. And like I think I said this last week, but Theo John has like a body that John Thomas had at that age, but he kind of moves more fluently, somewhat like a Kyle Washington because of his length and kind of his height. You guys saw Kyle Washington the other night, right, with the mid-range jumper, the putback dunk, and the three. And the
I love Kyle Washington. I've always loved
that game around. Kyle's the reason they're in the. They're going on to play today.
Yeah, he had a big game versus Duke earlier this year, and he's always been impressive. I was kind of sad to see him, and maybe Theo Johns might do the same thing, but he kind of left Minnesota in high school to go to prep school, and then once he did that, just like Rashad Vaughn, I didn't think the Gophers had a chance.
Well, I don't see Theo doing that, man. Theo's a Champlain kid. There's a lot of people up there working with good people like Pat Freeman up there working with him. Theo would be local, I believe. But what were we talking about?
Yeah, De La Salle, man. I mean, they did the four-peat. You know, I mean, not that anybody questioned that it was going to happen, but, you know, to accomplish that, you know, there's only a few teams that have done that in history, right?
Yeah, and you can't – I mean, four-peat, that's ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you what, Class A, there's so much – so most of the kids are good in 3A this year are all graduating. There's a legit chance for them to five-peat.
What?
Because there's really no – there's really not a super talented team in 3A basketball. That's why so many people in Minnesota are like, De La Salle, opt up.
Mm.
Go play against – you proved yourself here. You proved yourself 2 years ago when you went back-to-back. That's why so many people say that. My belief, I don't know. I mean, I don't work at De La Salle. I don't know what they have to do schedule-wise. I don't know what their clientele is over there as far as a school. So maybe that's not an option. But that's what a lot of people are talking about. But Marcus had talked about De La Salle, brought it up. Sakar and Neem had another ridiculous game. I posed the question to anybody who asked. They're like, "What did you think of Sakar?" I was like, "Well, did you see Sakar? Like, where do you score all his baskets?" And it was the free throw line and from 1 foot.
I
don't think I've ever seen a dude literally run straight to the rim, go through people, go around people with a one-step move, and score at the rim every single time he scored. It was at the front of the rim. It was ridiculous.
And he's a man out there, and he's not. I mean, he's not that big. I mean, he's about what, 6'3", 6'4".
The afro makes him 6'4".
Yeah, he kind of has a body that, to me, in 1 year of college, you know, when he hits the weights there, that I mean, he's gonna come into his own. I mean, he's already, like I said, a physical for his age, and definitely a man among boys. But I think once he gets into college, he kind of, you know, tightens up that frame a little, get some muscle on there. He's going to be an impact freshman, and, you know, I think the Gophers are going to look back and kind of wish that they had brought him there with Jarvis.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, they're looking for their selective wing. I think they want, you know, as I said before, Sakar's good. He made 11 of 22 field goals state, 10 of 14 free throws, 32 points. You know, he 10 rebounds. He's a stud. But I think, as I said before, everything he did was at the front of the rim. You know, and we've talked about this before. That's what Joe Coleman and Wally Ellison did, and they weren't fits for Patino.
Right.
So I just don't think Sakar's a fit. That was a fit for them.
Joe Coleman and Ellison are better athletes too.
They're more. I'd say they're a little bit. They're more explosive athletes, but I think I'd take Sakar because he's tougher.
Sure. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yep. But you know, it's a good finish for De La Salle, and yeah, that's.
You
That's
go.
It for Pete.
You guys both brought up the Gophers a couple of seconds ago, so I've got to sort of switch gears here because the Big Ten teams have had a pretty explosive showing in the tournament so far. I mean, 5-2 wins for Maryland, Michigan State, OSU, Iowa, and Marcus's whiskey team. So the question that I have is
Marcus the Badger.
Impressive showing from the Big Ten teams in the tournament so far tell us anything about the Gophers? Because expectations were obviously really high. Expectations were not met. I mean, what do all of these wins? Because I don't know if anybody picked some of these teams to do as well as they've done. I mean, there were seven teams got in the tournament. Purdue probably just barely lost that game. What does this tell us about the Gophers?
Well, I think when you look at these matchups, you know, actually Iowa was a team that that I thought, you know, when you played Davidson,
they blew them out.
They do. I mean,
they blew them out.
They look like a Final Four. Some people were saying they look like Kentucky in that game. They were so dominant. But if you look at all these matchups, I think, you know, Purdue is one I had moving on as well versus Cincinnati. But Ohio State, that was probably one of the more impressive games in the first round for the Big Ten teams. You know, Michigan State played a Georgia team who I felt like, they weren't a bubble team, obviously, if you look at their seed. But I thought that they were kind of fortunate to get in. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, Michigan State, the way they played at the end of the year, you kind of felt like they had a chance to maybe make a run this year. You know, get to the Sweet 16. I mean, they're going to play Virginia coming up here, and, you know, that's going to be a great game. Wisconsin, you know, as much as, you know, my wife, she's a Badger, she wants to see them all the way to the championship game. You know, I felt like, you know, they're going to hit They're going to hit a snag here coming up, maybe in the next couple rounds, but versus North Carolina. You know, the question is, which Big Ten team is going to move on, you know, other than Wisconsin, which Big Ten team is going to move on the furthest? And if you looked at the way Ohio State was playing, you might pick them, but I have Arizona going all the way. So I think Michigan State and Iowa right now might be the two teams that that could go the furthest other than Wisconsin. And what do they both have in common? It's a long way to get to your question, but what does Michigan State and Iowa have in common?
You know, I
they both lost to Minnesota.
There you go.
I think I'm with you on Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State is tough. And in the NCAA tournament, you got to have some scorers, and you got to have tough dudes that defend for the full 40. Michigan State has that. I have them going to the Elite Eight. What does the Big Ten success in the tournament say about the Gophers? I think it says that the league was tougher than people knew. And in the Gophers, they won, 18 games? They're three games off of Iowa when the season was done. I mean, how many close games did they lose? To good teams most of the time, and they had a couple farts in there, too.
Yeah, they had nine games that they lost by 6 points or fewer.
Yeah, so, I mean, it tells me the Big Ten is really good, and the Gophers, maybe they're not, you know, people are upset with it, but maybe they're not that far off. I mean, they lost close games to good teams, and it comes back to this. You had seniors, they may have not been tough enough to get it done, and, you know, then they move on, and, you know, we move on with the next group.
So you would agree that they probably got hosed out of an NIT appearance.
No, they didn't have the credentials. They just didn't have the credentials to make the NIT when it was all said and done. I mean, the way that the NIT selects teams now, the NCAA took over. It's more like the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, you know, where they go by more by RPI and all that. And
gotta have a right to defend, man.
It just didn't look good for them to make the NIT. But, you know, Ryan made a good point. This is a team that wasn't far off. You know, a couple wins here or there. And really, I mean, it's kind of funny to say, but they could be back-to-back NCAA tournament teams. They were that close. I mean, you look at last year, you know, you beat Illinois and Northwestern at home. All of a sudden, you know, you're 500 or better in the Big Ten. You win one Big Ten tournament game, and which they did, and you're in the tournament. And this year there was three or four wins that kind of got out from them, and you know, not that nine games by 6 points or fewer that they lost, all those games were in the Big Ten. They were all in the Big Ten.
That's what I'm saying.
And like Ryan said, the Big Ten was better than people think this year, and you know, some of those wins could have got them in. But how tough will it be for Gopher fans to swallow if both Iowa and Michigan State make a run in this tournament, two teams that they've beaten? You know, and on the road.
And
the Michigan State one was the signature win. Hey, and won there since 1997.
And you're expecting them to go to, like, the – where did you say you had Michigan State going, the Elite Eight?
I said Elite Eight, and I'm going to say it again, Elite Eight. And while I'm at it, Iowa, they're going to – they're getting beat. They will get beat.
Iowa's getting beat tomorrow? I don't know, man. Iowa's looking tough. I think that Davidson team was kind of but I don't know. You're probably right.
Gonzaga in the championship game, so you know they're.
Yeah, you're not gonna get any argument over here. All right, well, we're gonna get a little bit further into our brackets, maybe see how exposed we got on some of these picks. We're gonna talk about your picks. We've got several people responding to the poll question. Who you got to win the tournament? You could tweet us. It's at @oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done. You can also hit us up on the ticket line, which is 651-989-9105. We'll be back with One and Done in just a couple of minutes.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, hardwood highlights from around the NBA last night. Yeah, there was actually NBA basketball last night. I know you weren't watching it. Brooklyn top Milwaukee in triple overtime, 129-127. Cleveland secured a spot in the playoffs with a win over Indiana. And just to keep it in the East, Philly beat the Knicks 97-81. The reason I even mentioned it is Nerlens Noel. 23 points, 14 rebounds, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. It's starting to click for this kid. I mean, it was the Knicks, granted, but he's becoming fun to watch. Chicago beat Toronto 108-92, and to give you just a taste of what's happening in the West, on a day Oklahoma City more or less said Kevin Durant is done for the year, my boy, future Laker Russell Westbrook puts up his ninth triple-double of the season, goes 17 for 17 at the free throw line. and a win at home over Atlanta, no less. 123-115. Put up 36, 14, and 10. Russell Westbrook, my boy, killing it this week.
Is Atlanta starting to slip?
They're on a little bit of a spell right now. Korver's out. I think they've got somebody else is out. Horford's still beasting. I mean, they need to get production from five or six guys to actually be able to do what they do. I mean, they're definitely the epitome of team basketball. So if the team isn't there, they're not always clicking. But, I mean, they've had a pretty tough week. They played Golden State, even though Golden State was without Klay Thompson. And they still got our MVP choice. I know yours and mine, Ryan, Steph Curry, and he gets it done at home. So, you know, it's hard to say Atlanta's just out of it right now, but Russell Westbrook, I feel like if Kevin Durant had just agreed to sit the whole season, Westbrook would have been putting up these numbers. He would have been beasting. He would have been doing what he's doing and probably would have a really strong, or at least I don't think their win-loss record would be much different, but he would have a much stronger case for himself for MVP.
Yeah, I wish that... I wish you had a chance to see him play this special with Durant by his side, because I think that they'd have a legitimate shot at winning a title. And, you know, for Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, two players that are playing at that high of a level, one of those guys has to win a championship, you know, kind of put themselves on that plateau of, you know, the elite players in NBA history. I mean, the things that Westbrook's doing right now are all great, but if he doesn't win a championship, same thing with Durant. You know, how much are we going to remember this 10 years from now?
Yeah, if they don't win a chip. I mean, I think we'll all remember the Utereal MVP. Utereal yeah. MVP, Mom. You know, but we're all going to remember that.
These guys are going to stick together, right? I mean, they're not Kobe and Shaq kind of relationship.
No, man. This is going to be like the Raptors way back in the day when they had McGrady and Vince Carter and all the kids were excited. Then the next time they went to the game with their McGrady or Vince jersey, they looked up at Mom and said, "Where's Tracy? Where's Vince? They're gone." And that's going to be Westbrook. He's playing for, you know, the Lakers. And then, you know, whoever KD is, who knows?
Yeah, Washington, I think, is what a lot of people are speculating. He might go home. All right, but that said, so let's get into your picks. How about you, Marcus? Let's start with your picks. Who's your boy?
Well, I'm sticking with the Big Ten, and I'm going with D'Angelo Russell. I mean, this is a freshman that's been tearing up, as we all know, from watching him in the Big Ten this year. But he had 28 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Ohio State beat VCU in overtime, and I mean, this guy, you know, he's continuing to do it all year, but I mean, this is a performance that's puts him up there with the likes of Chris Webber and Isaiah Thomas. His 28 points were the third most scored by a Big Ten freshman in NCAA tournament game. Chris Webber had 30 in 1992 for Michigan, and then Isaiah Thomas also had 30 for Indiana in 1980. And, you know, I mean, this is something that we're not too surprised about, because all, you know, us here, you know, in Minnesota have seen, you know, him do this here
in the
barn.
We've seen the momentum picking up nationally,
score,
too.
Yeah, we saw him score, you know, 25 in the first half versus the Gophers.
No-look passes.
And, but for him to do this on this stage, he's just rising up there in, you know, kind of his prospects for the NBA draft. I think right now he's number 2. On a couple draft boards, right behind Karl Towns for Kentucky. And, you know, I mean, he could, who knows? I mean, he could be a future
Timberwolf.
Yeah, you never know. I like his game. It's not just about scoring. I mean, he does it in all facets. Obviously, you looked with the blocks and the steals. But he's their primary ball handler. And for a freshman to put in that position, we talk about Russell Westbrook. I mean, he might be a taller version of Russell Westbrook, maybe not as athletic. But he definitely has that potential in him.
He looks more like a Penny Hardaway, maybe, to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you have to go way back for Penny a little bit for people to remember that.
the other thing about him is he's a leader, man. He's a leader and a worker. He just doesn't score. He's out there. His teammates who are older, a lot of them respect what he does just because he works hard and he's a leader.
I hope Ohio State doesn't beat Arizona in this next round, because you know, you talk about brackets blowing up. I mean, I got Arizona winning
You're
it
done.
All. I got Arizona beating Kentucky.
Well, good luck with that one. Sammy Johnson, he looked like a fullback out there rolling people.
Who's your boy? Who's your boy, Ryan? Who you got this week? Or I should say, who are your boys? Because you probably got like 8.
We got to start.
The high school season's over.
We got to start with Minnesota State Moorhead out there in the Elite Eight for D2. Jordan Rewer, Tyler Vaughn, Chad Walthall getting it done. I mean, we got to give a little give the Dragons a little love up here because they're doing something big, going for a D2 championship. And in the state tournament, we'll go one per team. Alex Vicks hit four trays to give Russell Peterson a state championship. Drake Meyer, he's a name that's popped up from Melrose. There's going to be a lot of people recruiting him. He's going to be an AAU guy that we're going to have to watch. He had 24 in the state championship game for Melrose. We talked about Sakar, but I'm going to give Josh Collins some love. He had a great state tournament. He's headed to UND, the UND, the green and white. And then last, Apple Valley. Apple Valley won with a team. It's tough to give it to one dude because they went with a team. Trey Jones, outstanding. Titus' brother, Trey Jones, outstanding floor game. Brock Bertram, he had a double-double. Cameron Kirksey had a great championship game. And Gary Trent had 15. So those are my guys. Wrap my arm around all of them. You boys are killing it. Let's do it. That's my group of your boys are killing it. But, hey, I wanted to touch on something that you guys brought up all these names. Penny Hardaway, Chris Weber. Think back to that run, like when we were younger, of the NCAA tournament. The Larry Johnson year. Then you had the Duke upset. Then the Duke run. And in there you had Michigan. How fun was the tournament back then?
No, it's fun.
Fab Five and Duke and UNLV were all going crazy.
But see, back then I felt like that they were more, the elite teams. You just knew that they were going to be there, when it was all said and done.
Yeah, because they were playing several years together.
Exactly. Well, you're not the right? Fab Five.
Wow.
You kind of expected Duke. You expected, when UNLV had their guys, you kind of expected Michigan those 2 years. Right now it's like Kentucky and, you kind of hope Arizona gets through. You hope, I know you don't have Villanova getting through, Ryan, but you just kind of hope Gonzaga gets there. I mean, you just don't see those teams that you can just kind of chalk in there for the Final Four. And, maybe that makes it more exciting. I think that Kentucky, whoever can take them down this year, I mean, that'll be the talk of the tournament. As much as we want to love to see Georgia State make a run and, the Achilles injury kind of keep being the story of the father
vine,
son.
I mean, that vine will live forever, but I don't think we're going to see Georgia State win another game.
Yeah. No.
But I agree with you. That's like the golden era of college basketball right there.
Oh, dude, those are the games like that I remember, the non-Gopher games that I remember as the best of all time, when Duke beat UNLV in 91, when Michigan beat Kentucky in that semifinal game, the Michigan-North Carolina game, and that Michigan win over Cincinnati when Cincinnati had Nick Van Exel and company back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those games were awesome. I mean, they were awesome college basketball, and that's, to me, that was my golden age, and then my golden age continued with the Final Four in 97, and all the talent was on that floor with Arizona and North Carolina and Kentucky in 97 Final Four.
Yeah, speaking of that, that's why I picked Arizona to win this year, because they're back in Indianapolis. The last time they won was in 97, that year that
Mike Bibby,
the Gophers were.
Miles Simon. Yeah. Michael Dickerson.
And, I mean, the Wildcats have the talent. I mean, people might laugh at the fact that they could get by Kentucky, but if they do get there, their starting five, I actually think their starting five is a better starting five than Kentucky has. If you just go from top to bottom,
Arizona,
Stanley Johnson is a top five pick. Carl Towns is right there, obviously possible number one. But they have a point guard. I think their point guard, TJ McConnell, is every bit as good as what Kentucky has. They have the size. I mean, I think that they'll give Kentucky a run, but there's a long way from that. They got to get through Ohio State. Kentucky has to, get through some teams. And really, I mean, this Kentucky team, the way they've been beating teams, they look invincible, but I don't see it. I don't see them being invincible. I think there's going to be a game here. They might win it all, but there'll be a game here where they'll be lucky to get by.
Really?
I could see that happening, although I think Sean Miller's paying you to pub that team, man. Come on. the Chiefs got some extra pills this morning. What are you doing? Arizona.
I would love to be in Arizona right now.
I want to get your both of your takes on the big dogs. I've also got a couple of other questions surrounding the tournament that we've got to cover, but we got to pay the rent first. So we're going to do this thing and then wrap up the show before you get to hear some more college basketball. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, there's some basketball to get into this week on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Join Ben Holson and the superstar Mike Morris for Wolves Wednesday on Radioactive Sports, live from Hubert's before the game against a team from Los Angeles. Monday at 7, hear the high school basketball breakdown Monday with our friends Wally Langfellow and Larry McKenzie. And today we've got NCAA tournament games until 5 or 6 on The Ticket. So you can hear basketball all day. Kentucky and Cincinnati at 1:40 and in just a few minutes. UCLA and UAB in the South Regional Round of 32. You're going to hear all the games, though. They'll jump around quite a bit. Keep you into the UAB, UCLA, and Kentucky, Cincinnati. But you're going to hear everything that's going on. So keep it locked in to One and Done on 105 The Ticket and 105 The Ticket all day long. We were just talking about some of these big dogs. I know it seems like Kentucky's kind of the obvious pick. Really, if you're not picking Kentucky, the question is, why are you not picking Kentucky, I think. I like Duke. I picked Duke. I was kind of, like, reluctant, or maybe I was regretting my pick of Duke, like, on Tuesday or Thursday. But then, after watching them play last night, I mean, these dudes look like an NBA team to me. And that, I mean, just from the way their sets look, the way they run their sets, their size, I'm excited. Quinn Cook kind of looks like... maybe Swaggy Q. He could be like the new Nick Young. I don't know. I might be reaching a little bit.
Well, if you go by the second round games, Iowa looks like a national championship contender.
Without a doubt. Oh, yeah.
I think some of these teams that actually squeak by their first game, sometimes that lights a fire under them and they go on a roll, you know. And so you look at some of those close games in the first round. Or the second round. I mean, the first day you had what, 5 games that were decided by a point. It was amazing.
Yeah, all the drama seemed to be games. Thursday. Yeah, all the drama was Thursday for sure. Except for some of these big dogs. I mean, Kentucky put the foot to it. You know what I mean? Duke put the foot to it. Wisconsin put the foot to it. And by it, I mean that backside.
Yeah, Wisconsin's a team that, you know, everybody, I think, along with Arizona, my pick, those are the two teams that they feel like could take out Kentucky. You know, Duke as well, but I think, you know, Wisconsin, you know, being on that side of the bracket, I feel like they have a shot. You know, Arizona to me, I'm gonna rep Arizona again with their size and that starting five. I mean, Stanley Johnson is a guy. I mean, you know, Ryan talked about his physical presence. I mean, 245 pounds. I had to look that up several times to make sure that was right. This kid is kind of like a LeBron out there.
Well, yeah, 50 of his pounds in his head. That's the biggest thing.
But he's still, I mean, he runs the floor. He's athletic. And he's a guard. You know, he's a 6'7", 245-pound guard. And I think that he's going to be an excellent pro. And we're just gonna see him, you know, kind of take it to the next level here in the tournament. But this is the tournament of the freshmen. I mean, Jahlil Okafor, you know, he has a chance to take his team all the way. So obviously Towns, you know, with Kentucky, you know, Arizona, Wisconsin's kind of holding the fort, you know, for the seniors with Frank Kaminsky and, you know, Villanova as well. They've got a veteran team. You know, we haven't talked about Northern Iowa yet. You know, I was just really reading this Sports Illustrated article about the teams that they feel like they could take out Kentucky this year. Of course, it was before the bracket came out, but, you know, Northern Iowa was a team that, you know, I mean, they're doing it all the right way. I mean, these kids are developing over 4 years, and you know, I think they have a chance to make a run here. I mean, they'll probably face Louisville. They'll face Louisville this next game. If they get by them, they maybe play Villanova down the road. But tell me about Ben Jacobson a little bit, Ryan. I know you have a little background with Northern Iowa.
Well, Northern Iowa had that stretch where they made the NCAA run for several straight seasons, and he was a hot name in college basketball. And they gave him that 10-year contract to lock him in. And, you know, for a little bit there, they had a 4-year run, I think, where they didn't make it. But this year, how about Marvin Singleton from Hopkins, the role he played in that win? Like, just a tough, tough working player. Marvin, you know, he just scratched a claw to get his minutes, you know, as an upperclassman. But now he's an upperclassman. he's working. You know, in the Northern Iowa program, it's obviously Northern Iowa. I believe Cedar Falls. It's a team that Ben Jacobson, it's his baby. It's what he's made, and he's made them into a substantial program. The thing about Ben Jacobson is there's one team in that contract that he might get out of, he has an out to, and that's Minnesota.
Right.
If Minnesota would ever want him way down the line. But, you know, Ben is, he recruits this area. He recruits Iowa strong, and they get kids to play their way, their team way, and they're doing a great job. You know, it's a fun team to watch. And it's a team, quite frankly, that Minnesota people will cheer for, because there's such a connection, not just because of location, but also because they've generally had Minnesota kids down there do well. And there's a long list of them. I don't know if we want to go through them all, but Mark Sonnen, Kajoa Legbe, Eric Coleman, those are just a few.
Yeah.
Eric Crawford. If I didn't mention Crawford, I'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
Eric Crawford.
You and I plays Louisville tomorrow, or is that today? No, tomorrow, I think, tomorrow about 8:40.
Isn't that a great battle inside with Seth Tuttle and Montrezl Harrell? Oh, man. What happened to Harrell? I mean, he's a guy that in the first game in Puerto Rico versus Minnesota, he had 30 points. He showed he extended his range to 3-point, and he just didn't have the season everybody thought he would. You know, I think Harrell is definitely still a first-round pick, incredible athlete. But, you know, I mean, he needs this tournament to kind of put himself back on the map as far as the NBA and you know, being a high pick. And Seth Tuttle, I mean, you know, he's another player who could play in the Big Ten. I mean, you kind of just see this guy in the Big Ten, you know, playing for...
Without a doubt.
Really, I mean, playing for the Gophers or a team like that. I mean, this is kind of the identity, I think, that Minnesota doesn't have. They haven't had since they lost Trevor Mbakwe. They don't have that inside presence, that physical presence, that the kind of guy that you don't want to be, you know, in an alley with, you know. I mean, unless he's on your side.
You brought up the Gophers. Know, I gotta ask this question before we get it. Before we get done with the show, because is Pitino in the hot seat? Is it okay to ask if Pitino's in the hot seat?
No, he's too not. Early.
Yeah, 2 years, and he started when he was 30. You know, came from Florida International. All the experience that he had as an assistant coach with his dad and with, you know, Billy Donovan, that doesn't prepare you to be a head coach in the Big Ten going up against Tom Izzo, Bo Ryan, Thad Matta.
Well, let me ask you this.
And he's learning as he goes. And
from that USA Today article you sent me, and Tubby Smith talks about the dip, which is that point where the media starts buzzing and the conversation starts swirling. Is that happening?
Well, I don't think that's happening at all, but you know, I think that there may be some boosters out there who, you know, might be concerned. Obviously, him taking over a team that won an NCAA tournament game, and then 2 years later they're not making the NIT. But at the same time, you know, we'll go back to that USA Today article that you talked about. I'm going to read a quote from USA Today here from Tubby Smith. You know, he says, "Whenever you hear those rumblings, you have to make sure to keep your ear on the ground." He says, "In every organization, when you see things change, it's already coming down and it may be too late, so you've got to be proactive. You got to know when to move." And this, you can say this after the fact. It's easy to say it after the fact, right? Some people might say he might take that advice about Texas Tech right now, but but you know, I think
some people, meaning Ryan,
that a lot of people did see it coming, and maybe Tubby did not. You know, after they missed the tournament. You know, they had a couple seasons where they tanked at the end of the year in the Big Ten. People were unhappy. And as much as, you know, he was winning games, they beat North Carolina, was beating Louisville, you know, those big non-conference games that got them into the tournament a few years. This was a team that just was not competing on a consistent level in the Big Ten. And you're still seeing that under Pitino. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for people is when Wisconsin is a contender, not only Big Ten now, but nationally. Obviously, even Purdue is coming back now. You know, Indiana. Right. You know, you could say Tom Crean's on the hot seat, but they're still there in the tournament. Iowa, obviously, you know, is another border state. You know, they went through a little struggle, but they're a tournament team. They won a tournament game. So
we can really just put it to rest, because it sounds like you both are firmly saying that we've got to ride it out with Pitino. This is not the time to panic.
Yeah,
this is not the time to freak out.
When they hired him, they knew that it was going to be a learning curve there for a young coach. And I think more than anything, you have to be worried about whether he leaves or not. before he gets it done here, because there'll be a lot of teams that see his youth, a
lot of opportunities,
see his energy, see his recruiting base is not necessarily in the Midwest, it's more to the East Coast, and you know his father's still there, trying to make sure that his son's in a good situation. So, you know, moving forward, I think it's more about, you know, him and whether he sticks around and has commitment to Minnesota rather than Minnesota's commitment to him.
Okay.
I see Patino sticking around. I think he's a competitive guy who wants to prove that he was hired for a reason. I you know, there's rumblings about this and that, but the rumblings are one thing. Actually getting up and leaving is another. I think he's a competitive guy that wants to. He was hired for a job, and I think he wants to show people that he's good at his job before he leaves.
Right, but I think to be safe though in this market and in the coaching world today, you have to make sure that you know your name is out there and yeah. circulating
and
for
and
these
that's
jobs.
What we see right now,
and that's his
Alabama.
Agent. Yeah, yeah. You know, Alabama, they actually just fired a coach that has ties to Norwood Teague. You know, Anthony Grant was hired at VCU by Norwood Teague. But at the same time, you know, Ryan, I think you're right. Patino does have a chip on his shoulder. He knows that, you know, that he can get it done and at this level. And, you know, he has to get his players in the program. You know, he was playing with majority of this team. The core of it was still Tubby's players. And I think now, you know, next year it'll be a fun time because Tubby Smith and Richard Patino will play one another next year in Puerto Rico.
Well, perfect, because I'll tell you what, Tubby had his ear to the ground, like you said. Well, he should have got it off the ground and went and, A, recruited some better players, and, B, he should have, like, at least got a team to play for him. The dudes that played for him did not like him. None of them that were around here. And that, you know, I don't like listening to him complaining about that stuff, because if you would have got your team to play for you, there was so much talent on that team, that could have been a hell of a run, but he couldn't. They didn't play for him. That was the biggest thing for me.
There's some other reasons that talent doesn't necessarily stick around, and that more often than not is because they're one and dones. And that's going to be the conversation of our show next week. We've got UCLA and UAB on 105 The Ticket in just a couple of minutes. For Ryan James and Marcus Fuller, I'm Hardwood Rob. I can't even say my own name right, man. I'm just trying to get us into this game. It's one and done on 105 The Ticket. Have a great weekend.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WGDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.